You are listening to Grandpa Lampshade.
Wait is over. Installment number 41 of the Church of the Lampshade Show is here at last, folks. I don't know what to tell you except to tell you this is going to be this. I'm going to be hard pressed, even with my amazing broadcast talents. I'm going to be hard pressed to get everything I want to talk about today fit into 1 hour. I'm just going to just go ahead and forewarn the network. We're probably going to run late today because we've got a whole lot of information. I think really good messages. We're going to cram into this hour. We're going to try to keep it as close to an hour as we can, but we are going to try to cover everything we can at the same time. So we're going to jump right in. We don't have any time to spare. We don't have any time to dilly-dally around. As always, we like to start right off thanking those who financially support the show. And I know some of you who don't financially support the show probably cringe at this part because you're like, oh my gosh, you know, but this is such a big part of what we do, and it is very much appreciated. Last week, we only had 3 supporters, and I had quite a few people, I had a couple of y'all contact me and be like, you know, hey, I sent support. What's up with that? You know, and the best answer I can give y'all is those who send support through the snail mail is the Diversity Post Office, because as I usually 9 times out of 10, I record the show on Saturday morning. And like last week, finished out checking my mail. And I had like 1 mail. That's it. 1 support by mail. And, then record the show Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, go check it. And I have like a whole bundle with a rubber band around it. So it's like, they've been just like, throw that stuff in the corner, and then when they get around to it, they put it in your box. So you know, when that happens, don't freak out. It's not like I'm not going to get it. It's just that's the U.S. Postal Service, so we have to just bear with it. 8 supporters this week, including 2 Bitcoin Anons. Thank you, Bitcoin Anon. And just a little programming note here. As I always say, if you want to do cryptocurrency, I got a Bitcoin address at the bottom. But if you have a different sort of crypto, drop me an email. I'll get you an address for that. And when I do say Bitcoin Anon, that includes those of you who do send me a different crypto. I'm just not going to sit here and say, you know, ZK, just say Bitcoin Anon. That's a blanket term for those that do the crypto thing. 8 supporters this week, including the 2 Bitcoin Anons. And I'll just go ahead and get this out of the way now. If you want to be a part of that, again, Bitcoin address is at the bottom. I've already said, if you got another crypto, let me know. And of course, we have the ever popular Pony Express. Just about the same speed. Put it on the stagecoach. It'll get there eventually. We've got snail mail, so that's down at the bottom as well. Listener questions, comments, always welcome. That email address also at the bottom. And as always, we like to go to the listener supporter mail bag right off the bat. So let's do that. And again, lots of good stuff this week in the listener supporter mailbag right off the bat. Debbie, Grandpa Lampshade, loving the show and listen to all the shows you're on. Keep up the great work. My prayers are with you. And I believe Debbie also sent me an email, because I got an email from Debbie, so I assume it's the same person. And the email was a little longer. I hope you're the same person. Otherwise, this is kind of embarrassing. But just go ahead and go, because if not, we'll just say, okay, it's a different Debbie. But I'm sure it's the same one. Grandpa Lampshade, thank you so much for the great shows. It was extra special because I have an aunt that worships the Jews. John Hagee said basically that Jesus failed, and in order for Christian to believe in Christian Zionism, you must believe that not only did he fail, but that he is also a liar. I know they don't like to think of it that way, but I cannot find anything that would let me believe that you can believe in Christ and also the Jews as Christ said, your father is the devil. Anyway, I love the show as always, but this had much meaning for me. Well, you know, and this goes back to the show we did. It's a great show, if I do say so myself, on the Holocaust as a religion. Got a lot of positive feedback. And honestly, I think it was one of the better shows we've done done in a while, up until today, because today's going to be a great show. I feel it. I feel it in my bones. So we got a lot of good feedback on the Holocaust as a religion show. And I just, that was a message I think that has, that honestly has been needed to be said for a while. And yeah, thank you again for your support. Debbie, let's keep on rocking, because as I said, we got a lot of stuff to cover this week. And let's see, this is from Brian. Grandpa Lampshade, as always, I hope this finds you and yours well. I'm praying faithfully for you and your family. And one of my biggest prayers is that you guys come through this time of persecution stronger than ever. Been enjoying the shows and getting a lot out of them. A thought from God, I believe, popped in my head was that the gifts are about the person. The gifts fill the same function as the cloud of God's glory, like in 1 Kings 8:10. And then we set that next to 1 Corinthians 14:25. But if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all, as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare. So they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. So the conclusion is that the Holy Spirits are there to indicate the presence of God in the gathering. If I can extend this a bit, I think that the gathering can be thought of like a machine. And when you assemble the machine properly, the power comes on. That power is Holy Spirit power, which indicates only that we have assembled in the way God commanded and is proof of his presence. And to anticipate the common rebuttal, yes, loving each other is absolutely another proof of God's presence as well. Anyway, no idea why you needed to hear that this week, but God has pretty put it strongly on my heart. So I hope it blessed you. Just a final thought. I think a lot about the list Paul gives us in 1 Corinthians 12:28. Where is that today? Where are the various offices as commanded in God's word? As always, brother, keep on rocking in the Lord. And that's from Brian. Good stuff. And one of the things that really struck me about this, and I'm, again, we could, this is one of those weeks I got other stuff I want to talk about. And we could always, honestly, probably do the first half of the show just on talking about listener letters like this, but I wanted to just go ahead and take a minute and actually reference some of these scriptures, because I think it brings up an important point, and that is remembering that one of the characteristics of God is order. God is order. Satan is chaos. God brings order. Satan brings chaos. And thus God, you know, if you cannot say, oh, well, we're doing a godly thing, and yet it's chaotic and there's no order and there's people all over the place, because God is about order, where Satan brings chaos. So just real quick, let's look at some of these scriptures of you've pointed to here real quick. 1 Kings 8:10, we're going to do 11 as well. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. And I think it's a pretty insightful comparison to compare this to, for instance, if you look in the book of Acts, where the apostles began, you know, the ministry in public, and the Holy Spirit manifested itself, and it brought what? Glory, because it again was a revelation of the presence of the Lord. I want to go ahead and hit these other scriptures real quick, if we can, because again, I think there's something really important to get to here. Let's see here. The next scripture referenced is Corinthians 14:25, but I want to back up to 14:21. In the law is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. And remember, when they talk about tongues in the scripture here, they're actually, and I've pointed this out previously, in the early church it was necessary. They had to spread this. Their mission was to spread the gospel worldwide, and that meant they were going from country to country where people spoke different languages. They were literally, it was like if I went to Japan out of the blue today and just, boom, could speak Japanese. You know, that's what it was. It wasn't gibberish. These guys were literally speaking in foreign languages because they didn't have time. God was sending them from one country to the next country, and they would show up in this country. They didn't have time to sit down and learn the language, but God would actually give it to them as a miracle and a sign to actually speak the language. And the people would hear this and be like, well, this guy just showed up and he speaks like fluent language, you know. So, you know, that's always worth. And let's continue here. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophecy and there come in one that believeth not or one unlearned, is he convinced at all? He is judged at all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you and a truth. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Order. Once again, order. He's talking about order. He's telling them, he says, y'all all come together and everybody's got something to say, whether they really do or not, because they want to stand up. They want to be noticed. They want to have something to say. And well, you know, last week you may have had something really important to say. This week you may not. So if you don't, just don't say anything. That's one of the things that makes this show tough. Some weeks I have stuff I really want to say, and other weeks not so much, but I can't sit down and just not say anything because I got a show to do. I got a show to do, but I think this really it points to, again, to order. And let's get to the last scripture referenced here, and then we'll move on because we got a lot to cover, and that is Corinthians 12:28, 1 Corinthians 12:28. Once again, I want to back it up a little further. If you look at verse 14 of the same chapter. For the body is not one member, but many. And then we'll skip up here to 25 and cover the rest real quick. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Because it gets real tempting to start thinking, oh, well, I'm not important. This guy's doing this other stuff that's really big. And I've just got this little role over here, and it's not that big. But all of these things come together. It's like how we say that no one person is going to change our society. Our collapsing society is going to turn things around. It is a collective effort. So it is with the church. Many members, one body, the body of Christ. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. For one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet shew I unto you a more excellent way. Again, I believe this points to the necessity for order. Because again, even just things being orderly, is a reflection of doing a godly work, having a godly gathering. But what happens is people are involved, and people are people, and human nature is what it is, and everybody wants to be important. And on the flip side of that, sometimes people get to feeling as though because they're not the most prominent person doing the most prominent thing, that they're not important, that what they're doing isn't important. Just to make a really simplistic illustration of this, say if you had an IRL church, is really good, is really Holy Spirit, you got the best preacher, you think the best preacher in the world, this guy comes up and he preaches like, he just set the world on fire with the word of God. I mean, he has got it. I mean, he can bring the message week in, week out, rather. He can preach the message, he can do all this. And your job, your job in the church is, well, the only thing they could find for you to do in the church is you're the guy that's in charge before Sunday gets here, Saturday night. You go to the church and you make sure there's toilet paper in the bathroom. That's your job. You're the toilet paper guy. The only thing you've got to do is and nobody's going to thank you for it. Nobody's going to praise you for it. Nobody's going to say, hey, it was a great job putting a full roll and an extra roll in there. I had 3 cups of coffee before service today, and if it wasn't for you, buddy, I would have been in a lot of trouble. It seems like just an embarrassing. Would you go around people and say, what do you do in your church? I'm the toilet paper guy. You know, you would be like embarrassed to that. But if you didn't do that job, if nobody put the toilet paper in the bathroom come around Sunday morning, there are going to be people like, it's going to be chaos. It's going to be a mess. There's going to be socks. You want to talk about sacrifice? There's going to be socks sacrificed on the floor of the toilet stalls because there ain't no toilet paper and there ain't nobody filled the toilet paper. And people went in and there's nothing they could do. What do? You're in there. You can't just go out dirty and you're looking for articles of clothing that maybe people won't notice that you lost because you're having to wipe your ass with this. The point being, I'm kind of making a fun illustration of it, but the point is that everything, the jobs people do, you know, there are going to be people that get prominent jobs, prominent work in the Lord. They get a lot of attention, but you shouldn't sell what you're doing short because it's important too. And again, as it's pointed out in the scripture here, it's about order. It's about understanding that everybody, if one person's suffering, the whole body's suffering. If your arm is hurt, if you got a toothache, you know, well, the rest of your body's healthy, but you can't think of anything else but that one tooth. I mean, you can still eat. You got the rest of your teeth, but that one tooth is hurting. That one tooth's in pain and the whole body suffers. All one in Christ. And again, it's an order. It's a body in chaos. If you ever seen anybody with epilepsy, they're all thrashing around on the floor and stuff. And what? Well, yeah, it's chaos. It can't function. And the body of Christ should be one of order. We got to keep on rocking here. Let's see here from Arthur Grandpa. Thanks a lot for what you're doing. Your longtime friend, Arthur. Haven't heard from Arthur in a while. Thank you, Arthur. Very much appreciated. Let's see here from Nick, Grandpa Lampshade. Back-to-back great shows and sermons. Appreciate it. Really do. Very much. And you know, sometimes I feel like they're good. Sometimes I don't feel like they're so good. But that's the way it works. From the Birdman, excellent, Grandpa Lampshade. Now, we are laying the foundation for victory. Another key element, and the most important of all, the ladies. Without their loving support and or participation in the movement, we are finished. Leader would agree with me on this one also. Your thoughts, please. Well, if there's one thing more controversial to talk about than the Jews, it's to bring up women. Well, no, I mean, yeah. The thing is, I think what a lot of people have a hard time, it's separating the fact, and it's because it's so hard to. But you know, you talk about feminism. And then, and we hate feminism because it's a destructive thing. It is a communistic thing. And yet it is a thing of destruction, it's a tool of destruction. And yet it's sometimes we just blend that into where feminism and women in general become one and the same. You know, and I see a lot of people like they direct their hatred of feminism towards women. I mean, just like all women are just crap. Well, feminism is the destructive thing. Now, yes, I mean, and it's an understandable thing to happen because women, by and large, on some level or another, are influenced by feminism. So that's why you start getting that to where it's hard to separate the two. But you can't sit here and just, you know, hate all women, but because the real problem is the feminism. But at the same time, you know, you can't start pedalizing women either and putting them on a pedestal and being like, well, they're innocent of all things, you know, because so many women, by and large, are again corrupted by feminism. But I think it's important that we remember that the real problem is the feminism. And by the way, it's always more than worth noting that, you know, feminism itself, nothing has been more destructive for women than feminism. Women are by and large more miserable as a group. Of course, I'm talking in generalities here. By and large, as a group, women are more miserable now than they've ever been through history. You know, I mean, it's just it's the oh, you know, sacrifice your best years to chase a career and go around and just, you know, party in college and have sex with all these random dudes and this and that. And that is what equates liberation, freedom. You're freed from the patriarchy. And just like all the lies of the devil, and, you know, this particular one, feminism, comes through his minions, but it's still, when you get down to the sources, from the devil. It's a lie. It sounds real good. It sounds like, man, you're going to be free. You can do what you want. Remember last week when we talked about Adam and Eve and the fall of man and how Satan approached Eve and said, you know, will you surely die? God doesn't want you to eat the fruit because you'll be like him. You'll be like the gods. You're going to know. It sounded real good. But in the end, he screwed Eve over. You know, it was a lie. I mean, she ate the fruit, and yeah, I mean, now they knew right from wrong, but, you know, good from evil, I should say. But, you know, all of this destruction came about. Feminism is just, once again, as I said last week during that talk, you know, the devil uses the same basic tactics over and over because it works. I mean, you know, for life, it's not that he's, I guess, incapable of original material. It's just that, you know, if what you're doing works, why do you need to change it? And feminism, once again, is like that. It's like that temptation in the Garden of Eden. It sounds real good. You'll be free from the patriarchy. You won't have, you know, don't be no man running your world. You can do anything a man can do. You can do this. You can do that. You can go have a career. You can go do it. Sounded real good. And yet the outcome has been what? Misery. The devil is always, he's a liar and a murderer. He promises freedom. He promises this is going to liberate you. And in the end, you wind up more oppressed than you ever imagined possible. And women don't even realize it. Women don't even realize that this is why they're miserable. They can't accept the fact that they bought into a lie. I mean, you can't even hardly point to like women in general today, because it was their mothers and even at some point their grandmothers now who bought into the lie and then handed it down to the next generation. The next lie is just like, again, the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. You know, that didn't just fall on Adam and Eve. It fell on everybody ever since. You know, it's the same thing. Feminism got started, you know, decades ago, but it's been handed down now generation after generation. And people are miserable, and they don't even know why. And finally, we've got Mr. T, one of our weekly supporters, times two, by the way, because his is one of the ones that was in the mailbox from the Diversity Post Office. You know, so I wound up with two letters of support from Mr. T this week. I'm going to hold off reading what he has to say because I think it'll be a segue into what I want to discuss here in a minute. So going just to listener questions, comments real quick. We're kind of jumping around here. From the email, this is from Dean. Grandpa Lampshade from the UK. Yes, that multicultural hellhole. Just thought I'd drop you an email and tell you how much I enjoy the show and listening to the Bible readings. I find it inspiring. Keep up the great work. And thank you. Dean. Now, finally, from Mr. T here, Grandpa Lampshade, let's see, you're too hard on yourself as far as the quality of your shows. I learn something new each time you talk. And we'll get to a second part here. And I'll just say, Alan, I am hard on myself on the show because I get these letters of support from y'all. I take this real serious. I mean, I'm not getting rich doing this. It's not about money, believe me. But I take this serious. And I want there to be something. It's always my prayer that there'll be something in the show that'll touch, if it's just one person. Something you got to remember when you're doing the work of God, and you are, every one of you, I'm not talking about just me, I'm doing the work of God here. If you're a Christian believer, there's some part of your life, and you may not even realize what part that is, you are doing the work of God. And when you're doing the work of God, you are trying to build something in the kingdom of God. You are contributing something to the kingdom of God. I mean, yes, we have the things we try to do in the political sphere, the things we're trying to do to better our society, to better our people, to secure a future for our people. But you have to understand, anything you do in this world, no matter how successful, no matter how noble the endeavor, ultimately is temporary. I mean, it might last 200 years, but I mean, you know, the Roman Empire was this great empire. It was this magnificent thing at one point. But I mean, where is it now? All things that you accomplish, that you build in this world, ultimately are temporary things. There, at some point in time, it's going to corrode, it's going to corrupt, it's going to fall apart. And I always laugh when people get hung up on it. Well, that political system might be all right, but what happens in a couple hundred years? Every political system is temporary. There's no perfect political system. But when you are working on the things of God, those are permanent. Anything you're contributing to the kingdom of God is a permanent thing. When I get an email from somebody that says, hey, I turned back to Christ. I was listening to your show. You're edgy. You're funny. You know, you talk about these things. And I got to listen to these Christian sermons. I had turned away from Christianity. I've turned back to Christ. That's a serious thing. It's not like when there's a disaster and everybody on Facebook says, yeah, my thoughts and prayers are with the faith. And they don't mean it. They just say it for signaling points. I take these things seriously. When somebody says, well, I turn back to Christ, I tune in every week because you like my preacher now. Yeah, that's a heavy burden. I'm just a guy. I'm serious. I don't sit here and went, well, I shall bestow my wisdom on the people this week. And I don't. I sit here and I'm like, God, why is this on me? I'm just like any of the rest of you. I'm just a person. I have my own failings. I struggle with sin just like the rest of you. I struggle with doubt. My faith is not nearly as strong as I want it to be. There are times when I wake up and I ponder and I look at my life at the stage I'm in my life now and I wonder, what the hell am I doing? Satan will come to me and tempt me and say, are you really doing the work of God? Or are you just telling yourself you are just so you'll feel better about where your life is? You're just justifying what you're doing in this life. I'm just a guy. I'm humbled by these things. And so, yes, I do take it seriously. When I finish a show and I feel like, I set the show up and to the network to put up and put the final touches on for Boat Sinker to do his great artwork. And all of these people put this effort into it. And you listeners listen to it. And those of you who financially support the show take money that you could have bought a hamburger for your kids with. And instead you send it to me because you felt like that was something worth doing. I take these things really, really seriously. It's a heavy burden. I'm not in the least patting myself on the back. I'm just sitting here sometimes scratching my head going, why me? So, that's why I come off like that. And it's not, I just do take this seriously. And I say this last because I think it's going to be a segue into what I want to talk about this week here. Could you discuss this dread most people feel? I see it all around me. Some hide it better than others, but I sense it and I feel it. Something is going to break. Praying for you and yours, Mr. T. I thought I would say that for last because we can segue, and I'm looking at the clock here and it's expected we're going to run long today, but this is definitely worth covering. I think this dread is the fact that we are going through societal collapse. And of course, we talk about this all the time. This is a multifaceted thing. What is there for people to believe in? The church, what's church stand for now? Really? I mean, I get tired. Look, I get tired of anti-Christian spurging. But on a certain level, some of them have a point when they mock Christianity, the modern church. What do they stand for? It's like conservatism, these fake conservatism. What are they conserved? What is the modern Christian church, the cup church, as I call it? What? And by and large, I mean, I hate to say it, that's the majority of Christianity now. If you lump it all into a pot, the vast majority in there is going to fall under the category modern cup church. What is the church standing up for anymore? Don't stand for anything. What is there for the people to believe in anymore? Our systems, government is corrupt beyond repair. The systems. The systems. And we're going to get into this here in just a minute. The systems. Nobody who believes in the system. I think a lot of people sense this, but they're still in denial. And you see this denial manifest itself in various ways. The Q thing, for instance. This hope, this belief that there's the deep state. Yeah, the deep state is doing what they do, but there are white hats in the government that are working behind the scenes, and they're working with Trump, and we're suddenly going to wake up one day and the news will be filled with mass arrests of all of these horrible corrupt people. The system is corrupt. What are they going to do, arrest the whole government? But it's denial. They're still trying to cling to some form of hope that it's really not that bad. I see people online, on social media, banging their heads against the wall, blaming themselves. We just have failed to vote in the right people. Well, apparently for, yeah, what, at least well over 100 years. We have failed. I didn't vote for Roosevelt. Yeah, I didn't vote for Woodrow Wilson, who set up the Federal Reserve. I didn't vote for Abraham Lincoln, who destroyed the notion that it was a voluntary union. We're just not voting. It's our fault. It's the people's fault. Why? Because we're stupid. Why are we stupid? Because we're just not voting for the right people. They just can't accept that the system is simply working as designed. It's just become so corrupt now. And you see all of these forms of denial, you know, and some people snap. Some people just, you know, yes, some of these mass shootings and stuff are false flags. I do. Some of them don't make any sense. You read stories that get buried and it's like, but not all of them. I mean, there are some people that are snapping and that doesn't, they don't know what to do. And so they just lash out. They just break mentally under the notion that they're living through a societal collapse. They've lost all faith in the system. There's nothing to hold on to. There's nothing larger than them to believe in. They feel small. They feel powerless. They've got to do something. I understand the concept of many people doing something and that exerting a larger force that can try to change things. I'm not talking about saving the current system. It's unsavable. But it turns things so that when this thing finishes falling apart, which it will, that perhaps the people will be in a better place to start building something new. I mean, at some point in time, we got to build something new. This thing is going to come apart. But these people, they don't have any of that. They don't have a belief in God. They don't have a moral code. They don't really have family. They don't have people they could talk to. They don't have a social life. They sit in their house all day and they just read the internet and read all of this stuff. And they get more and more angry. And at some point, they snap. They're going to do something. I don't want to stay on that too long, but I mean, what is any of that, though? You look at the people that have snapped and gone off and done these things, and what did any of it accomplish? Their life is ruined. They won't, whatever efforts are made to build what comes next, they won't be participating. They either got killed by the cops or they'll be rotting in a prison somewhere. They didn't accomplish anything. They're just essentially a soldier that's no longer on the battlefield. So anyway, I don't want to linger on that because I want to get into illustrating a little bit of how our society is beyond corrupt and collapsing, the systems collapsing. And we will get to our Christian specific message today as well, because I think it kind of ties in a little bit with this. But again, I'm doing my best not to run too long today. We're going to run a little long. It just can't be helped because this is all very important. I find it funny when the governments of the West in general and the U.S. in particular And even by extension, the people, they look down on these other countries, you know. I don't care what other country, I don't be a failed, you know, state like Venezuela, or they point to North Korea, or they point to, you know, Iran, whoever's the boogeyman this week, because Americans have this need, they're just conditioned to have a constant boogeyman out there, that if you don't 100% trust the government to keep your freedom safe, that boogeyman is going to come take your freedoms from you. And you could look at any failed state out there, and the government points to these states and people look down on them like we're living under, like, what, a less corrupt system? Like we're living under some sort of more just and accountable system. It's laughable. Now, I want to talk about something that doesn't get mentioned much anymore as an indicator to your failed systems, your failing society, your collapsing system. The fact that it's all a lie. It's corrupt beyond repair. Let's bring up something that doesn't get talked about. And by the way, people may be under the misconception that our discussions beforehand and our Christian specific segment are like two different things. And it's far from the case. They're very much interrelated, because in this entire show, we strive to seek and speak the truth. Sometimes we may come up short, but that's what we strive to do. And I'm sure if the day ever comes where they do shut the show down, it'll be under some other justification. I mean, you remember Christ, if you looked at the paperwork at the time, Christ was crucified for leading some sort of, you know, being a threat of insurrection against Caesar. But we know that wasn't the actual case, but that was the justification used. The point being is that our political truths we try to speak lines up with our Christian truth, is because the truth, again, Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, truth being the central word used. So in all of these things, it's interrelated, and I hope that makes sense. Anyway, getting back to topic here, something I wanted to talk about that doesn't get mentioned much anymore, and that is, remember Pizzagate? Remember when Pizzagate was a thing? Don't hear about it much anymore. Here's some of the long accepted code words used in the pedophile community. Hot dog is a boy. Pizza is a girl. Cheese is a little girl. Pasta is a little boy. Ice cream, male prostitute. You know, map is semen. Sauce is orgy. This is disgusting. But, you know, then you go back to these emails released by WikiLeaks from Podesta and the people he was associating with. And there's just some little snippets of conversation. I consider ice cream, its purchase and its consumption, a rather serious business. We can't just willy-nilly toss it out and about in casual references, especially linked with the word free. Lo and behold, instead of pasta and wonderful sauces, it was a lovely, tempting assortment of cheeses. Yummy. I am awaiting the return of my children and grandchildren from their holiday travels so that we can demolish them. Hi, the realtor found a handkerchief. I think it has a map that seems pizza-related. Is it yours? They can send it if you want. I know you're busy, so feel free not to respond if it's not yours or you don't want it. These are just little snippets. Y'all are probably, this is just a refresher. Refresher. Now, we don't hear about this much anymore. Why? Oh, because that's right. We were told it was debunked. We're told over and over, if you bring it up, it's debunked. Go to Wikipedia. The conspiracy theory has been widely discredited and debunked. Oh, really? It's been judged to be false. Ellen, who has judged this? Well, let's see here. Snopes.com. Wow, Snopes. There's a legitimate, hell, we can't question them. The New York Times. Yeah. Oh, who else? Oh, the Huffington Post. They actually put the Huffington Post as a source for debunking this crazy conspiracy. And of course, one guy went into the Comet ping pong place and fired off one round. So that had to immediately, you can't talk about it anymore, because if you talk about it, you might inspire one guy to go in and fire one round in a pizza place, and then you would be responsible for it. If you keep talking about this, these crazy people may go and do who knows what in a pizza place. You don't want to be responsible for that now, do you? So we can't talk about it anymore. We got Russia conspiracy theory investigations that they spent millions of dollars on. Did they investigate this? Because, I mean, if you're going to say it's debunked, then what the hell were they talking about? I don't think anybody in their right mind can look at these emails and think they were simply, they're just big fans of Italian food. I mean, come on, it's beyond obvious that that's not what they're referring to. We got endless accusations it was the Russians somehow hacked this, even though the Seth Rich guy that worked there is widely believed by the internet to be the one that got this to WikiLeaks. But we can't ask him because he was murdered, according to the Washington police, in a robbery. But of course, he had nothing stolen from him. He was just found killed. That's handy. We can't ask him about it. But again, don't worry, because the Metropolitan Police Department of the District of Columbia has actually characterized this whole nonsense as quote unquote fictitious. This is the people, these are the same people who assured us that Vince Foster killed himself. So we can't question them. I don't see anything mentioned here that the FBI investigated any of this. Curious that, isn't it? Let me ask you this. We just read off some, and there's, of course, much, much more. Most of y'all, I'm just not going to belabor it because most of y'all are familiar. I'm just refreshing your memory. These well-known pedophile code words. Let's say you're just rando. You're rando Chester the Molester sitting in your house, thinking about little kids and how much they turn you on. And you go on the internet and you go into the whatever Chester the Molester hangout chat room, and you start having a conversation like this, like these emails, with this talk of pizza and maps and cheese and playing dominoes on a cheese pizza, and the feds no doubt monitoring your Chester the Molester chat room sees you talking about what a great time you had with the sauce and playing dominoes on your cheese pizza. Code word. I would hope they were going to come see you. I would hope, because you're not even talking about, oh, I would like to. You're out and out saying you did it. You would think you would, if you're rando, just Chester the Molester walking down the street and you're in a chat room having a conversation like this, I can virtually guarantee you're going to get a knock on your door. Well-deserved knock on your door, by the way. And yet, this case? Apparently not. We're just supposed to assume they must really be fans of Italian food. Maybe they were too busy. Maybe like the FBI and shit, they were just too busy. Doing other important things. I mean, hell, I got an FBI visit just to let me know that, you got to be careful, because if some crazy person goes out and does something and says the reason they went and did some crazy shit was because of you, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. Just letting you know. But these guys, where is it? Where's Washington District of Columbia Police Department? It seems like it would be a much larger matter than that, but never mind. Huffington Post says it's debunked. So, well, there's that. We can't talk about it anymore. And besides, one crazy guy went into a pizza place and shot a round off. So now you can't talk about it because you will be responsible if a crazy guy goes into a pizza place. Shut it down. You can't talk about it. Nothing. That is obvious. Something is here. It's trying to tell you there's no fire and there's a shit ton of smoke. But the point is, these systems are so corrupt. There's no justice. There's no sense. Where? Nothing came of this. And nobody even talks about it anymore. You know, we talk about these other countries. Look at North Korea. They're so backwards. Really? I mean, who's to say that if people weren't partaking in things as alleged in this nonsense here, who's to say that Kim Jong-un might put them in the old style Joseon torture chairs and like where they like twist their legs and stuff? I don't know. I'd take them out and execute them. Yeah. But we're so much better here in America. We're so much better than these foreign countries. Look at South Korea. South Korea, the funny thing about South Korea is the people there, they know their government's corrupt. They know their politicians are corrupt. They don't pretend like Americans do that it's any other way. And yet the politicians, on the other hand, and the government, they know that the people know that they're corrupt. So there's actually kind of a line there. You know, where they know they can only push so far because the people actually push back. In 2014, there was a horrible tragedy. There was a ferry called the MV Sewol. I may not be pronouncing that right. And it's a long story. You can look it up on the internet. I encourage you to do so if you get a little time. But the long and short of it was this ferry should have never been operating. It was completely unsafe, but it got permits and stuff because they bribed the correct officials. They, you know, and this thing capsized and killed like all of these students that were on a field trip and they're riding back on this ferry. This thing capsized and killed all these hundreds of people. All these people died on this thing. And the political fallout from it, because it was due, again, this thing shouldn't have been operating, but the right people got paid off. The right lobbyists lobbied the right people. And as criticism grew, the government, their first woman president, I believe, her efforts were focused on what? Clamping down on criticism. She wanted to shut down all people criticizing the government on the internet. They wanted to shut down anybody criticizing and bringing up what the government was doing. And the people of South Korea took to the streets en masse. And she's in jail now. Their first woman president is in prison. Can you imagine that actually happening in the U.S. all of our politicians are bought and paid for. They are. They call it something. They don't call it bribes. They call it campaign donations. They call it, oh, well, once they're out of office, they can become a high paid lobbyist. So you'll be doing a speech that pays $20,000 an hour. It's not a bribe. We're just making an offer that once you leave office, we'll have a position for you at Megacorp Corporation, and it pays well into six figures. Oh, maybe that's been debunked by the Huffington Post too, huh? Maybe the fact that politicians raise millions and millions of dollars to run for an office that pays, what, $100,000 a year or some crap? Makes total mathematical sense. There couldn't be any kind of payoff on the other end. This pretending that the system isn't utterly and completely corrupt. This is why people have a feeling of uneasiness. You can deny reality with your conscious mind to a certain extent. But see, your subconscious can't turn that off. This is where people start getting like kind of nuts sometimes, I think. People start acting erratic and they start getting all stressed out and depressed. And because their conscious mind is blocking that out. They don't want to believe that the system is a complete failure. They don't want to believe that the system hates them. They don't want to believe. I was reading a deal the other day where I think it was the Prime Minister of Sweden was saying, well, the high number of rapes happening in the areas that are largely populated by the new Swedes, by these people they imported from the third world, that doesn't have anything to do with those people. It's because they're poor. Doesn't have anything. And yet people act like, oh, well, the government is just, why aren't they doing something? But they are doing something. They're doing exactly what they are paid off to do. They're doing what they want to do. The system is working as planned. It's working as designed. People in their conscious mind deny these realities. They turn it off. They turn it off. They shut it out. They don't want to believe it. But yet your subconscious can't turn that off. Your conscious mind says, I'm not going to pay any attention to that. I'm just going to ignore it. I'm just going to move on. I'm going to do my thing. But see, your subconscious mind sits there and chews on it. Your subconscious mind sits there and goes, man, you know, this doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense. Why is the government importing these people and then lying about the rapes? And when it's obvious, it's right there. Why is it that people are being thrown in jail for what seems like, you know, piddly stuff, and yet you have these powerful people that this looks really suspicious, and yet they just say we can't talk about it because it's been debunked, but they won't tell us in what way it's been debunked. There's nothing that they're presenting that says this isn't true, because what they were actually talking about was this. So if you look at it in this context, it makes total sense. No, it's just debunked because they told you it's debunked, and your subconscious cannot let it go. Your subconscious will sit there and keep trying to pick apart this ball of yarn, all the while your conscious mind is trying to shut it out. So people, you see this uneasiness in the people. You see people on edge. It is. It's everywhere. People are stressed. People are like just ready to snap at a moment's notice. And a large part of that is because On a conscious level, they may be shutting this out, but on a subconscious level, they cannot deny the reality that their societies are collapsing. The lies we were told our entire lives. Your nation isn't real. It's an idea. And anybody that says they agree with the idea is just as American or Swedish or French as you are. It's all lies. We're supposed to be all worked up over the Hong Kong protesters, which is an obvious another yet 6 millionth rendition of a color revolution attempt. It's obviously a foreign-sponsored agitated event. Yet the Yellow Vest protests in France, the police are just basically shooting people down now, and it's a complete media blackout. American media, you won't hear about it at all. You wouldn't even when it first kicked off, it was really crazy. Nothing. Complete radio silence. But you're supposed to be all worked up over Hong Kong. Your conscious mind can sit here and choose. You can choose all day long not to pay any attention to this stuff. But your subconscious mind can't let it go. And that's the way it works with people. And people are sitting there. And so you have this conflict. You have this conflict in your own mind. And this is where this uneasiness, this edginess, where people are on edge. People are ready to snap at a moment's notice. It's because their mind is in conflict. There's an internal conflict happening. These kind of subjects, folks, these are truths we try to speak to. And it's, we never have all of the information. So we can't be 100%, but we try. This is what we strive to do. These are the things that make me uneasy to talk. I feel uneasy. I thought about not even talking about this because I thought, man, this, you know, it's the type of thing that can put a big target on your back. That's why I say our discussions like this and our Christian-specific segment are not two separate things. Again, you know, the central word Christ used is truth. If you're working towards the truth, you are doing a thing of Christ. But it gives him the opportunity. Oh, he was spreading conspiracy theories on the internet. That has to be illegal somehow. If nothing else, we'll just make something up. What the hell? Who's going to question it? Everybody forgot about Pizzagate. But yet, we continue to strive to speak these truths. I want to go ahead and wrap up on that note. I could go on about that a little more, but we're not going to get a chance at all to do our Christian-specific message if I don't wrap that up now. But just think about that, the fact of how corrupt your systems are, how corrupt your society is, your governments are. The things that make the news, the things that make the news, and the things that you're not allowed to talk about, the things that you are required to shut up. Don't worry, your betters have said it's a conspiracy theory, and it's been debunked. Okay, let's get in here, fill those pews. Let's get into this week's Christian-specific message here in the Church of Lampshade, our sermon this week in the Church of Lampshade. And I think it's not completely unrelated. I think you can, if you look at it with the with a broad enough mind, with an open enough mind, you can actually see how it's related to the rest of our conversations. Now, we're going to hit several scriptures this week, so be prepared. Be prepared to keep up. I've often pointed out that when you see things in conflict, or they come across to you as being in conflict in the scripture, it's because you're not understanding them, you're not understanding the context of them. It's not that they're wrong, it's not that God's misleading you, it's because you don't understand. And there's fine, there's things I don't understand. There's still things I struggle with to understand in the word. So it's not a big deal, but you can't let that affect your faith. Now, one of the lot of times where these conflicts come up is Old Testament versus New Testament. And I thought we'd highlight some of this here this week. So let's start off in the book of Exodus, chapter 21, verse 12. He that smiteth a man so that he die shall surely be put to death. And if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die. Now you see, they're laying out a specific, you know, if you strike someone and kill them, you're forfeiting your life. Now the second, if he didn't lie in wait, but you know, something happened and you killed that guy, then you'll have a place to flee. You know, this can get worked out. If you lied in wait, you plotted it out, you will surely die. Let's skip forward here. And same chapter and verse 24. This kind of sums it all up here. What's being said: eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. In the modern cuck church, we like to pretend that they like to pretend that stuff there doesn't exist. Instead, this is what exists. This is all that exists. Skip forward. Matthew 5, verse 38. Jesus speaking, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now, we've covered that turn the other cheek thing multiple times on the show. I'm not going to belabor that, but to just once again point out a few things here. The biblical term evil does not mean wicked. And that's the one thing people tend to confuse a lot here, because when Christ says ye resist not evil, he's not saying resist not wickedness. And the best summary I can give to you is if you're driving along in your car minding your own business and someone ran a stop sign and hit you and wounded you in your car because they weren't paying attention and they crashed into you and you lost your arm. Let's say you lost your arm in the car accident. That's an evil thing. It's a bad thing. I mean, you were minding your own business. You didn't do nothing wrong, but this happened and you lost your arm. That's evil. That's an evil thing. And the biblical use of the term that generally gets used. Wickedness, on the other hand, would be you're driving along, you're minding your own business, and this guy who hates your guts, he's been like stalking you, he hates you, and he sees you coming, and he sits in his car, and he waits, and he times it, and he drives his car through the stop sign, and smashes into your car on purpose, and cuts your arm off because he's trying to take your life. That's not evil, that's wickedness. So it's important, because Christ isn't telling you don't resist wickedness. That would be silly. So, and again, I'm not going to belabor the turn the other cheek thing. We've addressed, you know, the deeper meaning of that multiple times on this show. But I wanted to put that in contrast with what we read earlier here in the book of Exodus. The turn Yeah, the eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, stripe for stripe, hand for hand. Why does this seem to be in contrast? Was Jesus saying that when he says, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye, but I say, is he saying that doesn't count? Well, that doesn't make any sense because Christ said, I'm not here to overturn a single letter of the law. So how does it make any sense? You have to understand when you read these things like from the Old Testament, such as what we've read here, again, there's much more there, but we can't sit here and go on hours and hours and hours. Eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, stripe for stripe. What are they laying out here? Justice. They're laying out a form of government. You know, the Bible is actually a political book, believe it or not. They don't want you to believe that, but what they're laying out here in the book of Exodus that we're covering is they're laying out how justice is to be administered in a country. Is how you're supposed to run a justice system. Christ is talking about your personal behavior. Your personal behavior. You can choose to turn the other cheek. It's a choice. If you're just forced to, that's not a position of power, and it's you're just being bullied. another good example of turn the other cheek is when a brother, you look at infighting, people fighting over things that are stupid, and maybe somebody slings a insult your way, and you just choose to ignore it. You know, that's turning the other cheek. It's not that you could sit there and verbally nuke this guy off the planet, but it's like, that's stupid. And it's not going to actually accomplish anything. And you choose to turn the other cheek. You could nuke the guy. And I don't, Jesus isn't even saying like you're sinning if you don't. But he's saying you should, you have the power to decide. If you were, especially within the church, especially within fellow believers and brothers, you want to be real careful about escalating a conflict, especially when it's over something stupid. You know, turning, that's a good example of turning. The point here is, you cannot run a justice system on turn the other cheek because no one would go to prison. There would be no justice. Nobody would go to prison. Final scripture we're going to get to here as we highlight this subject. We're going to one of my favorite books, of course, the book of Ecclesiastes. We did a whole series on this, by the way. Chapter 8, verse 11. When the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, the hearts of the people are filled with schemes to do wrong. Not just a sentence being carried out, but it has to be carried out quickly. You know, there has to be real justice. The people have to believe that, the justice system is fair. They have to believe it. Just think about last week. We were talking about this guy that's been sitting on death row for 20-something years, and now all of a sudden he's innocent. Never mind that his DNA was found in the victim. Never mind that. None of that counts because they found somebody that said, because his excuse was, I was having an affair with her. 20 something years. And they sit here and say, the death penalty is not a deterrent. No, why would it be? It's 20 something years. If you're living in them streets in the hood, you probably have a better chance of living longer on death row than you do if you stay free on the streets in the hood. That's a reality. When the sentence for justice is not quickly carried out, the people's hearts are filled with all sorts of wicked schemes. This is why our current system, another reason why I should say, among many, our current system is destined to collapse. Because it snowballs and it escalates. The more they get away with, the more they can just blatantly get away with stuff. Epstein didn't kill himself. Nobody believes he killed himself. Doesn't matter. I mean, the system is so completely and utterly corrupt. Nobody inside this. I mean, what are the people going to do? The people are still holding on to the belief that the system is somehow going to fix itself. That this system is not doing, that this is a bug and not a feature. Nobody believes Epstein didn't kill himself. Yeah, but they don't care. They're just going to tell you the cameras just happen to not be working and the guards just happen to not be paying attention. They just happen to be sleeping. And he just happened to be able to hang himself off like a 3-foot thing. Even though he had recently told that people that, you know, there were people out to kill him. No, it was totally suicide. They don't care that it's not even believable anymore. And they get away with it. And so it gets further and further out there. More wicked schemes fill their hearts. More wicked deeds. More lies. Justice. Justice. Where's the justice? If some black guy robs a liquor store, he will be arrested, and rightly so, arrested and sent to prison for robbing the liquor store for $200. If the hedge fund manager raids your accounts and, you know, bilks people for millions of dollars and then says, oh, it was an accounting accident, you know, the firm will pay a fine. You're nobody going to jail. You're not going to prison. Really, but it must be because the system's racist, right? No, it's because the system is totally and utterly corrupt. You steal $200 from the liquor store, you go into the hard time. 5 years, you're going to go do a nickel. You're going to go do a nickel hard time. You bilk retired people's, you bilk people's retirement funds for millions of dollars. You do accounting tricks so that in the hedge fund, all the good stocks wind up in the corporation's stock basket and all the little investors. Oh, I'm sorry. It's just bad luck. All the bad stocks just happen to be the ones you're holding. They do these things to get away with it. Anybody go to jail? No. In the rare chance that they get caught, they pay a fine, which is like a fraction of a percent of the billions and billions of dollars they make by doing illegal activity. Justice. That's justice. And it just keeps growing because they keep getting away with it. You know, when they commit financial fraud, when big corporations and accounting firms and banks, when they get away with committing crimes, with committing fraud, and they get a slap on the wrist, the company will pay a fine. Nobody's criminally punished. Is it any surprise that the next thing is even bigger? That the next thing is even more corrupt? It just keeps snowballing because there's no justice, and they get away with more, and they get away with more, and they get away with more. Their hearts continue to be filled up with more and more and more and more greed, more and more and more wicked schemes. The reason in the book of Exodus, they're laying out this eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, life for a life. Because this is, you know, not just because, well, that's what's right, which, yeah, but because you're going to establish a nation, and if you're going to have a stable, functioning society, I mean, you're going to have rules, and everybody has to know what the rules are. The rules have to follow the natural order. The rules have to make sense. You see, if the laws and the rules, if your laws that you live under follow the natural order, you don't have to have volumes of law. But boy, what a corrupt system that is. What a reflection of a corrupt system that is, isn't it? You have just volumes of all of these laws. I read something years ago. This is, I don't know, an average day, the average person breaks X amount of laws just because there's so many laws. But if your laws follow the natural order of things, such as what is laid down here in the book of Exodus, you don't have to have a law degree. You don't have to have, like, you know, volumes and volumes of law books to go through and figure. You don't even have to know the laws word for word because they follow the natural order. Well, you shouldn't go up behind somebody that you don't like and club them on the head and make them lose their hearing in the right ear. That's not right. I mean, the natural order tells you that that's not right. So, you know, you don't have to have somebody sit there and quote to you the law that says, you know, well, if you smite him on the ear and he loses his ear, guess what's going to happen to you? Justice is going to be carried out. We're going to cut your ear off. You don't have to read that. You understand, because you can't be surprised when that's the consequence, because it follows the natural order of things. A true sign of a very corrupt society is just the opposite. You have to have all volumes of law books and reference back to this case and that case. And oh, well, this is in violation of so-and-so versus the state of such-and-such 1234.977-7B4 that says that on the case of this person, it's convoluted because it's evil. It's not right. It's because there's no justice. It's like how lies are twisted around and wadded up to try to justify the last one. Corrupt laws are the same way. They have to make more and more and more and more. And they have to twist and try to turn and twist and put the natural order on its head so that their laws somehow make sense to the people. The wealthy and powerful and wicked go unpunished. The petty criminals, sure, they go in jail. And as always, in a corrupt society, the truth speakers are persecuted. Nothing new under the sun. These signs, these violations of these things that are in violation of the natural order of things. Again, there's no point in trying to make sense of them because they're not supposed to make sense. They're not, because they're evil. They're against the natural order of things. They turn these things on their head. They turn these things on its head so that it benefits them at the moment. But we are shown here in simplistic terms, in setting up government, in setting up a justice system. In the book of Exodus, we're shown that it should be really, it's not that complicated. If you accidentally kill somebody, yeah, you should have a chance to like flee, let everybody calm down, and let's figure out what happened. If you lied in wait, you were coveting his wife and you were lying in wait. And you ambushed him and killed him because you were hoping to take his old lady from him, then you're going to lose your life. It shouldn't be that hard. You shouldn't have to have an army of lawyers to figure out the law. If you do, it's because your laws are corrupt. They're not about justice. They're about justification. They're about justifying the deeds of the powerful and wicked. They're about shutting out the voice of the poor, the voice of the working people, the voice of those who cannot afford an army of lawyers. And again, as we wrap up here with this look of the contrast of, in the Old Testament, they're setting up a justice system, how you run a government, and how it would be totally impractical if you were trying to run a justice system on turn the other cheek, because nobody would ever go to jail. Or I should say, based on the misinterpretation of what that means, no one would ever go to jail. Where Christ is talking about individual behavior, and in the book of Exodus, they're laying out laws for a nation. I don't think this is that complicated, but so many people don't seem to grasp that. And the overall concept, or the overall message, as we've pointed out in the book of Ecclesiastes, that when justice doesn't exist, then things are going to continue to get worse. You will see more and more wickedness because there's no justice. And in our failing society, there is indeed no justice. I think that all ties in nicely with our discussion earlier in the show. We've managed to go 15 minutes over, so let's go ahead and wrap up on that note. As always, my hope is that you'll continue to ponder these things and think about what they mean, and just maybe think about them from a different angle. My hope is that you'll come up with even more and think about it further and be like, oh wow, but what about this? He didn't mention this. Well, yeah, I've got so much time and I might not even think about it. The idea is to set you thinking and continue. The show goes on even after it's over. Once again, thank you for those who are choosing to financially support the show. I'm a humble lampshade. It's very much appreciated. That information, again, is at the bottom of the page. I very much encourage you to consider doing so. And again, I always thank everybody for listening. Thank you for your continued support. We'll be back next week right here for the Church of the Lampshade.